seek his assistance, and we seek refuge in him. Seek refuge in the evil of our own souls and the evil actions of our deeds. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. He has no partners. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger and his servant. Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. After this, our meeting in this lecture is by the, it's going to be called the way of the Salaf. The way the Salaf used to criticize, their minhaj in criticizing. This is a very important subject matter because the Prophet ﷺ has taught us already. Every small thing and every big thing in this tremendous religion, he taught his companions. May Allah be pleased with them. He taught them a good way that's clear. There's no doubt and ambiguity to it, without making things difficulty and without being. He taught them and raised them on the proper aqidah that's clear and unadulterated. He taught them and raised them this great minhaj or way. There's an authentic hadith. When the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, as it has been narrated on him, he said, the best people are my generation, and then the generation after that, and then the generation after that. And we can take this hadith and we understand it from the statement of Allah, the vanguard, the first people of Al-Islam, they are the ones who are close, get close to Allah. After that, they came after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People who took their knowledge from the companions. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And then they themselves, they established the religion in a good way. And then it was followed in that way after we had finally gotten the deen the way we are now. And for every time, there are going to be scholars. We do not want to take a lot of time and take the time away from the Sheikh. May Allah preserve him. All we want to do is give you an opportunity to explain to you who he is. He is Sheikh Saleh, the son of Humid al-Suhaimi. He was born in 1366. He studied in the Islamic University of Medina. He graduated in the Hijra calendar 1000. He finished his studies and he got his master's degree from Al-Azhar University in Egypt. And then he took his doctor's degree after that. He is now involved with the College of Ad-Dawah in Medina, and he's the president of the Division of Al-Aqidah. From the shuyukh of the sheikh, from the people who taught him, some of the ulama, who are well known in the Islamic world today. From them, the respected sheikh, Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, as well as Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, may Allah preserve them, increase them in life, and Sheikh Abdul Ghaffar ibn Hassan, and Sheikh Abdul Latif ibn Ibrahim al-Bahari, as well as Sheikh Abdullah al-Khudayr, and Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Khajlan. And Sheikh And our Sheikh, the speaker, has a lot of good efforts that he's put forth, and we do not want to speak good about him in front of his face, but we just want to explain who he is. The Sheikh has a lot of efforts in giving dawah, and he has a lot of trips that he's taken for the purpose of giving dawah in different Islamic countries as well as non-Islamic countries. So he has dealt with the difficulties that come as a result of traveling, and he has come far, far away, and he's traveled many miles to meet you brothers and to participate in this lecture with you, and hopefully to guide you brothers with some of what Allah has given him. So we ask Allah to give him the tawfiq to explain to us some of the affairs that are connected to this lecture, and we don't want to go any further. We're going to allow the Sheikh to come now. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Verily all praises are due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His assistance and we seek forgiveness from Allah. And we seek refuge in the evil of our own souls and our actions. The one who Allah has guided, there is no one who can send Him astray, and the one who He has left to go astray will not be guided. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah bless him and bless his family members and his companions. All you who believe, fear Allah, the true fear, and do not die except as Muslims. All you people, fear your Lord who created you from one single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and spread forth from them too many men and women. And fear Allah, the one who you ask your mutual rights of the wombs from. Verily Allah is always over you a raqiba, a watcher. O you who believe, fear Allah and say the word that is straight. He will make good for you your actions, and He'll forgive you for your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has received and attained the true success. After this, the best speech is the speech of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst affairs are the newly invented matters in the deen. And every newly invented matter is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a going astray, and every going astray leads to the hellfire. After this, brothers and my sisters, we thank Allah for what He has blessed us with, from allowing us to meet in this good meeting with brothers and sisters, that we are tied with them because of Al-Islam. The Tawheed has brought us together, and us mutually following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and us mutually going down his way according to the way of the righteous predecessors. For verily this is the greatest thing that ties us. Not only that, it is the one thing that all the other things that tie people, this destroys it, whether it's dirt or blood or people's relations or any other thing that ties the people. Dear brothers and sisters, early this issue or this subject, it should have been something that was dealt with by the ulama, the respected ulama, those people who they can give this type of subject its right. And that subject that we're about to discuss is the way the Salaf used to criticize their minhaj in criticizing, and its importance and everything that's connected to this issue. And maybe we can summarize this minhaj with what is about to follow. We'll summarize it by saying, first of all, What is criticism? Secondly, its importance. After that, thirdly, being in the middle course concerning it. Fourthly, getting away and leaving alone the desires and doing criticism. The fifth thing, knowing men and knowing the books and knowing the truth and not the opposite of them. Sixth, us cooperating with the deviants and the people who are sinners. And then after that, the seventh and final thing is mentioning a person's good things, good deeds, and his evil things. Is this the only way that we're going to solve the problems of the minhaj of the mubtadi'a, whether it's concerning their personal selves or their books? And as I said, this is a very expansive topic and subject, and it requires and it is in need of the people of knowledge, the major people of those people of knowledge who are going to give the subject its rights. So I'm going to begin, inshallah, seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say, and I now begin by saying, it may be the meaning of criticism. It can mean giving good advice or giving advice. And also making what is known. And giving advice on the way that Allah wants it to be understood. Like ordering with what is good and prohibiting and preventing what is evil. And what we mean by that is that it is establishing the affairs, establishing the affairs according to the correct minhaj, according to what the Prophet ﷺ has brought, and also taking examples of what the Salaf have left behind with working with these affairs and understanding them. As for its importance, the importance of criticism, verily it's enough for us to understand that this is from the basis of the da'wah that we give, calling the people to Allah. Because we understand that criticism is giving nasiha or advice without really considering the ways that people are using this criticism. We're not concerned with that, but we're concerned with, as we said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us and what has been narrated Ahim by an Imam Muslim on Abu Ruqayya Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the religion is giving good advice, the religion is giving good advice, and the deen is giving good advice. They said, giving good advice to who, Messenger of Allah? He said, to Allah, and to His book, and to His messenger, and to the Imams of the Muslims and their general people. And it has also been authentically established by the authority of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said he came to give the bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pledge of allegiance. So he said, I'll give you the pledge on al-Islam. The Prophet said, I give you the pledge, give me the pledge to accept Islam and to give nasiha to every Muslim. This has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So the meaning of giving nasiha or advice as it relates to Allah, it means the tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah in His lordship and His being God, and giving Him the tawheed in His names and His attributes and obeying Him and doing what He has ordered and leaving alone what He prohibited. And the meaning of giving nasiha or sincerity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is following what he has ordered and believing him what he told us about and following his religion, his legislation. And that is, we do not worship Allah except with what has been legislated by him and with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought from Allah. And sincerity to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of it is that what is wanted from it is following it, following its guidance and applying it in all of your affairs, religious affairs, whether it's the statements or the actions or your belief, and reading it day and night, trying to seek the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the Most High, and also always reading it and trying to contemplate its meaning. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the best of you is he who learns the Quran and then he teaches it. As for the nasiha that we give to the imams of the Muslims, the sincerity towards them, the meaning of it here is obeying them in what Allah has told us to obey them in, and giving them good advice according to the way of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, and helping them towards the truth, on the truth, and doing the best that we can in giving them advice and showing them the way with the ways that have been legislated for us, and making dua for them as well, or supplication. As for sincerity to the general Muslim folk, the meaning of that is that you love for your Muslim brother that which you love for yourself, and you do the best that you can to guide him, to be a reason of his guidance, as well as to order that which is right and to prohibit that which is wrong as it relates to him, and to teach him the affairs of his deen if you were of the people of knowledge and you have the ability to do so, and to stay with him and to stand with him in good times as well as bad times, and to cooperate with him in all that is good, and to be happy when good things happen to him, and to be sad and to hurt when evil things befall him. The Prophet has said, the example of the Muslims in their love for one another and their patience, the example of the Muslims is like the body. If one part of the body hurts, then the rest of the body complains of sleeplessness and of fever. So therefore, the criticism here, it is that it should be coming as a result of sincerity and giving good advice, far away from people trying to speak bad about other people and rebuking them, and the other methodologies that do not go in accordance with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is desired from the Muslim who's given the advice. It is the one who is looking for the truth, and his goal is that he wants his brother, who he's given sincere advice to benefit. And his goal also is that he desires Allah's pleasure, and it is going to be with the methodology that is pleasing to Allah, those methodologies that the Quran and the Sunnah have supported. Because whatever is and other than that is going to cause the people to fall into deep holes and problems. And that's because whenever we find this situation, you'll find people are going either overboard in either direction in extremity. And also, the person who's given this criticism should be afraid of Allah. This fear of Allah should cause him to watch himself in giving the criticism so that the Nasiha will be given its fruitation. Because many of the methodologies that people are following will find that they either have some type of extreme measures, and as a result of that, we can divide the people who give Nasiha or advice into three different groups. One group are those people who pay no attention to the text, and they think that they themselves are on this text and they understand these ayahs in a wrong way. And it's the statement of Allah, all you who believe, you have to take care of your own self. It does not harm you those who go astray if you're guided aright. All you who believe, you are responsible for your own self. It does not harm you those who go astray if you're guided aright. So this person thinks that he has done all of his responsibility by not saying anything. But the ayah, it does not mean that. It does not mean what he has understood. But instead it means that it is not, things have not been made, that if this person has done the criticism, then now it is not his responsibility for people to be guided. As Allah said, you do not guide those who you love, but Allah loves who he wants. So it's the responsibility of the person to do the best that he can in giving his nasiha or his advice to every Muslim according to his ability. So these people who take this position, they have taken for themselves ease, and they think that the issue does not concern them, even though they have the ability to change the situation. So these people are sinning, no doubt about it. And Allah has ordered us to order with what is good and to prohibit what is wrong. And He has told us that it is the way to give da'wah to Allah and to spread al-Islam in the earth. And we have to take the hands of the foolish ones so that they will not do that which is wrong and haram, and they do not harm the Muslims, and so that that foolish one will stay in his position where he belongs. The second group is that they take the way that is not supported by the Quran and is not supported by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is that they've taken the way of harshness. And they give nasiha or advice without having any mercy and without having any knowledge and without any guidance from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Without taking the weapons that Allah has given him in giving this nasiha or this advice. So they have taken every difficult way. And they've given a bad example and picture of the religion. And they've done bad where they wanted to do good. And the situation has reflected in a negative way on them. And their harm has become more than their benefit. But instead, what they do is they make people run away from the deen altogether. And an example of those people, these people need to fear Allah, the Most High, and they should go return their affairs back to the scholars of the religion and take from the example of the scholars and do the best that they can in those things that will cause them to come close to Allah. And they should take from the weapons of the knowledge that is beneficial that will prevent them from falling into these problems. And for this reason, these people need to be careful. They need to go back to Allah and fear Allah as it relates to the issues of the Muslim. As for the third group, they are the group that is in the middle. They are the ones who give advice and sincerity to Allah, His Messenger, and His Book, and to the Imams of the Muslims and the general Muslim folk. After they have prepared themselves with the weapons of knowledge, and after they have turned everything back to Allah's Book and to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this affair requires that the person first leave alone his desires, because the desires are from the greatest things that will cause a person to fall into the dalala, or those things with which people go astray, and make him leave him in darkness, and he will not be able to come out of it. So as a result of that, he takes one of the two extremities. And Allah has spoken unfavorably about following the desires. He said, they only follow their speculation and what the nafs desire. And Allah also said, have you not seen the one who has taken as his God his desires, and his desires have caused him to go astray from knowledge? And Allah said in another ayah, and they follow their desires. And there are many, many ayahs of the Quran that talk about leaving alone, following your speculation and your hawa. They only follow their hawa, and the knowledge has come from Allah, from their Lord. Second of all, it's required that the person should try to get away from getting personal benefit for himself. And his goal and desire should be the pleasure of Allah. Because if his desires, his personal desires, were to enter into criticism and give in nasiha, then the issue will become something else. It will become an issue of getting revenge for the self and doing those things that will cause the sick soul to go over bounds. And then the issue will become something else. The Muslims, as a result of that, will become divided amongst themselves, and their collective power will be lost. And for this reason, for those people who, the people who are looking for positions of leadership, they're the ones who are looking or working based upon their desires, because their hearts have taken this problem of the nafs, and Shaytan has whispered to them, and he has made them. The third thing that the person needs is that the one who is criticizing or giving the siha, he has to stay away from trying to find people's mistakes, the mistakes that were made, and they didn't want to make those mistakes. Especially the mistakes of the scholars. Because if he was to look after those things and try to expose those mistakes, the shaitan is going to play with him and make him be an enemy towards those ulama without any just cause, except of the desire that he has in his own soul and what has fallen into his mind that is sick. And he wants to be a person who's looked at as being knowledgeable. So as a result, he's always trying to criticize everyone. And also what the Muslim has to do is that he has to pay attention in this issue. He has to pay attention to something else. with that which is connected to the mistakes of the people is that he has to make the distinction between the mistake that was not intended and the mistake that was intended, and it's a serious mistake that comes as a result of it. It is in contradiction to the minhaj of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, what we need to pay attention to in this issue is that the one who is criticizing should not find enough just his opinion. But he also has to take that criticism that he made, those criticisms and points that he made to the ulama who do not exceed the bounds, and they say according to the truth, and they are just. And they know about these affairs. Because if a person was to depend upon himself, what's going to happen is he's going to fall in many, many affairs that are not acceptable. And as we said already, there has to be a distinction between the one who made a mistake that was done as a result of the one who makes a mistake and he didn't attend it, and it's on other than the way that the Sahabas were on, and between the one who is making a mistake and that mistake comes as a result of him being far away from the Book of Allah and far away from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the Salaf or the righteous predecessors. So therefore, the people need to understand that we should stay away from our desires and personal opinions, and that we should have sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the thing that will cause Allah to protect the person. The one who wants, he will protect the person from falling into these dangerous affairs. From the principles that are well known with the Salaf is that the truth, it is the one that people are known. People are known by the truth. The meaning of this statement is that people, these people are known as a result of the truth, and not the truth is known because of the people. And for that reason it is said in many books, in the books, if the book has come to the truth, then it's going to be a book, the books are going to be beneficial, and Allah is going to cause people to gain benefit as a result from it. But if these books were written and the intention of these books were just making people well known, then this is from the most dangerous affairs upon the Ummah. And also all of the da'wahs that the people are talking about, this principle is applicable here. The truth is the scale, and the truth is the light of the Muslim. Wherever he finds it, he takes it, and it should be that which is leading him. And he should do his best to find out what this truth is, no matter what it costs. Because the people, they're the ones who, because people, if whatever they say, irregardless of what their statements say or their books are saying, if it's against the Book of Allah, then this is something that we will find that in this time in which we're living in, most of the people and what they are writing, not according to this book. So as a result of that, people have made people's personal lives holy, and they do not follow the truth, nor do they follow the way of the Salaf. So So as a result of that, the people are following the statements of the people, irregardless of what they're saying. And as a result of that, something very dangerous has taken place, and that is that they do not want other people to talk about the mistakes of the people who they love, those people who have gone against the book and the sunnah. And the reason for this is that they said that if you were to talk about them, it will cause division amongst the Muslims. But in reality, the truth is that it only makes the difference between the truth and that which is false, and between the right way and the way that is not correct, and between the saved group and the other groups of innovation and the groups of desires. And this issue is an issue that many people's understanding has gone astray in, and they are far, far away from the straight way, the way that of those who Allah has blessed from the prophets and the truthful ones and the witnesses and the righteous. So the truth is one and it is not subdivided. The one, whoever hits the haq, they hits it, and whoever misses it, he misses it. So the Muslim, it is obligatory upon him to do the best that he can in order to find the truth, irregardless of where he finds it and irregardless of where he hears it. And this is not going to happen except that the people follow the way of the righteous predecessors in his statement and his actions and in what he believes. So a person also, he may say, is a person excused for his mistake? And if so, when is that? When is he excused? And this is going to come in the next lecture, a lecture which is talking about the excuse, the excuse that is given for mistakes. But in summary, I say the mistake that the person makes, as I said previously, is of two types. There are two types of mistakes. The first type is the mistake that is made unintentionally. And there are a few people who are saved from this. Most people fall into this. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the mistake that the person who falls into it, he will be excused, inshallah, if he was a person who was on good and he was following the good. An example of this, the one who falls into this, there's no problem. They shouldn't be dealt with in a harsh manner. Nor should his mistakes be mentioned except to explain to the people, so that the issue can become clear for the people, so the people do not follow that mistake without talking unfavorably about the person. The second type of mistake is the mistake that the person makes in his way, in his methodology. The methodology, the person who makes his foundation upon other than the truth and other than the way of the people of the sunnah and the people of the jama'ah. This mistake is the mistake that needs rectification and explanation, and it needs refutation, and it is in need of the pen and the tongue, so that people will be saved from his evil, and they do not fall, and they do not fall within its grasp. And what is well known to the people of the Sunnah is that in order to correct this, it's different from the way you would correct the first person, the mistake that is made unintentionally. And that is because the second type is very dangerous upon the Ummah. And And as for the one who falls into this one that you just want to explain to the people what the mistake is, you just want an explanation, that's the first group. The mistake that is done unintentionally. And if we were to follow the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the righteous predecessors, we will find that they made a difference between these two people, these two groups. The first one, his situation is rectified by softness. And by explaining the correct way without criticizing and exposing. Because exposing this person is extremely dangerous. And for that reason, the Salaf, they have written many books like Ibn Rajab. He wrote a book called The Difference Between the Nasiha and the Exposing of People. And this, all of this, is what is connected and concerned with the first group of people, those people who make mistakes unintentionally, because the nasiha or advice is different from exposing people. It's totally different. As for this ta'yir, what it is exposing the people in a way that the person desires in it, giving a bad picture of a person and exposing him. And it's not designed to give him advice. And the Prophet ﷺ has warned us of this. And his companions after him warned us of this as well. The Prophet ﷺ has told us in a hadith of Abu Dhazr, he said, O you people who their tongues have believed but their tongues do not believe, do not harm the Muslims. And do not follow their awrat, or their private affairs. For verily, the one who follows the private affairs of the Muslims, Allah will follow his private affairs. And the one who Allah follows his private affairs, he would expose him in the inner recesses of his house. This is narrated by an Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood with an authentic chain. And the one who seeks to follow the hidden affairs of some people, he himself will fall into criticizing something in a person that is not within him. And then he'll fall into a sin. And Allah Ta'ala has told us, and whoever tries to, we'll deal with this ayat later. And that's because many of these people who are exposing the people, it comes as a result of speculation. And Allah says concerning this, O you who believe, stay away from speculation. For verily, speculation is a sin. And the Prophet said, beware of speculating. Because speculating is from the most lioness of speech. And the difference between that which should be hidden and that which should be exposed is that the scholar Fudayl ibn Iyab, he said, the believer, his sins should be hidden and he should be given nasiha. As for the evil person, he should be exposed. And the reason for that is because the evil person will keep on doing the evil things and he will not listen to the advice. Especially for those who want to make evil spread within the ranks of the believers. And we also have been ordered to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one whose goal or the one who Allah has described as being merciful with the ummah. Allah has said, verily you have, Allah said, verily, you have a prophet who has come to you from yourself. It is difficult for him those things that happen to you. He is, concerning the believers, Ra'uf Rahim, merciful. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to give good treatment to those people with good character and with a good way. And he used to solve the problems with wisdom and with a good preaching, according to what was best at that time. And the Prophet ﷺ has described the Prophet ﷺ and his companions as, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are harsh against the kuffar and merciful towards himself. And Allah has ordered us to mutually cooperate on the truth and on being patient. This, all of this is what is connected and related to the believers. Related to the believers who we find they make some mistakes and they make slips. As for the innovators and the deviants, those people who call out and they talk about the innovations and they stay on them and they call people to these innovations, then these people criticizing them is different from anyone else. And that's because we have to expose them and we have to show their private affairs and explaining they're going astray. And we have to warn the people from them. Aisha, in the statement of Allah, He is the one who has sent down to you the Quran and in the clear ayahs, and they are the mother of the book, and the other ayahs that are ambiguous. As for those who have a disease in their hearts, they follow that which is ambiguous, so that they can make fitna and they can make the ta'wil explanation of this. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning this, if you see those people who follow those ayahs that are ambiguous, then they are the ones who Allah has named in this ayah, so stay away from them and one of them. And these are the people of innovation, the people who follow those shubahat, those things that are unclear, and they give dawah to it. And they give a bad picture of the truth of this religion. And they follow other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the Prophet said, peace be upon him, there's going to be in the last time some people who are going to talk to you and tell you about those things you don't know about, nor your fathers, they don't know about them. So beware of these people, and they need to beware. The Prophet ﷺ warned us of these people. Now we go on to the next issue, and that is the issue of what is connected to being just. Because we see many people are talking about this in this time that we're living in, when it concerns criticizing. Now this being just is different from one group of people to another group of people. If the issue was connected or concerning the people who we just talked about, like the believers who have some mistakes and some slip-ups, then these people, they need to be dealt with according to the way that we've mentioned and explained already. As for the innovators and those people who enter into Allah's religion that which is not from it, and those people who call out loud to other than the way of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, then these people, we have not seen anyone from the Salaf of the past talk about this being just, mentioning their good deeds and their evil deeds. But instead, what we find from the Salaf is that they explain what these people are doing that's wrong. And they refute their mistakes and their innovations. And they criticize with a criticism that is scholastic. And they explain their shubahat or those issues according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And we have not found any proof coming to us about the people of the past, the righteous, godly people, that they themselves have made this claim that you should mention the good deeds and the bad deeds of the people who are being criticized. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has warned us of these type of people, as he has warned us of the Khawarij. And he said that they will exit. He said that they will come from the loins of this man, a group of people. When you compare your salat to their salat and your worship to their worship, you will see your worship is being little. They will leave the deen as the arrow leaves the game. If I was to be there when they come, I will kill them. I will fight against them. And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has described the Khawarij, these people, as having a lot of ibadah, a lot of worship. But at the same time, he has warned us of them. And he ordered the believers to fight them. And he encouraged us to, when we meet them, to have this strong position towards them. And he promised us, the ones who fought against them and stood against them, he promised them a great reward. So the Prophet ﷺ, he has warned of the people of the desires. And he did not look at anything concerning their good deeds, nor did he look at their actions. Because that is an affair that is with Allah. We have no concern. It has no concern to us. But what we need to do is warn the Muslims about their danger. For that reason, he said in the hadith that we just heard, they are the ones who Allah has mentioned, so beware of them. Meaning those people who follow that which is ambiguous, the shubahat. So verily, explaining their innovation and their mistakes, what happens is when you explain them, it's going to be more beneficial than talking about the good things that they do. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ has warned us from them in no uncertain terms. And there's not a person, an innovator or a deviant, except that he has some good deeds. So if we wanted to apply this principle of mentioning their good deeds and bad deeds, then what's going to happen is that's going to make the people become very lackadaisical as it relates to their affairs. And they're going to take them as friends and protectors and follow their way. And they're going to read their books. And then there's going to happen that which is not going to be praiseworthy, from people becoming affected by them. It has been authentically reported that Aisha said that a man asked to enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What an evil man this is!" Or what an evil man this is. So when he entered upon the Prophet's house, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to treat him in a nice way, and he was smiling in his face. So Aisha said, after the man had left, when you saw the man, O Messenger of Allah, you said such and such a thing. And then when he came to you, you began to smile in his face and treat him good. He said, O Aisha, verily the worst people are those people who the people leave them because they are afraid of their evil. Or as the Prophet has told us, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said about this hadith, the permissibility of backbiting or making ghibah of the eve of the deviant, the one who broadcasts his evil. And also the permissibility of staying away from his evil with the ways that have been legislated. And also from what helps this claim is the hadith of Fatima, the daughter of Qais. She had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan wanted to marry her, as well as the other companion by the name of Abu Jahm, they both wanted to marry her. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, as for Abu Jahl, he does not put his stick off of his shoulder. And as for Abu Muawiyah, he is saluk, he is penniless, he has no money. So therefore you should marry Usama. She said, I dislike marrying Usama. So the Prophet ﷺ spoke to her and made her, or encouraged her, so she married him. She said, so she married him and she found much good with Usama. So the Prophet ﷺ, in spite of the fact that these two men, Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl, were from the companions, the Prophet talked about some of the things that were in them that were evil. Even though the things that they were doing were not like the things that the deviants are doing, whether they were the old deviants or the new deviants. Also, Hind, and she's the mother of Muawiyah, the wife of Abu Sufyan, she asked the Prophet ﷺ, she said to him, verily, Sufyan is a very stingy man. And he doesn't give me anything other than that I take the money from him and he doesn't know. So the Prophet ﷺ said, take from him what you need, only that which is enough. And the Prophet didn't speak back about her. And the Prophet didn't say you made ghiba or you made any backbiting. The Hafiz Ibn Hajar said, from the proof of this hadith is the permissibility of mentioning something about a person that he hates, as long as it was because it was a complaint. And it is one of the places that it is permissible to make riba in, or backbiting. So it becomes obligatory upon the Muslim to pay attention to these hadiths and to know what is contained within them, instead of calling to this new way, mentioning the good and the bad of the people, this minhaj that people, as a result of that, have gone astray and they've become deviants themselves. And the people of knowledge have made many books in which they refuted the people of deviation. And they talked about the people who are talked about and the people who are weak in their narrations. And the people who create hadith, and they made books in every concerning the people who you should not narrate hadith upon them, and many, many books. From those people, Al-Imam Ahmed, and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, and Al-Nasa'i, and Ibn Ma'in, and Al-Imam Al-Uqaybi wa-Zahabi, and Ibn Al-Hajr, and Dara Qutni, and other than them from the Imams of guidance and knowledge. These people have warned from the deviants and from their books. And none of them, when they wrote about these things, did they talk about the good deeds of these people. But no doubt we know that these people were written about, they have good deeds. They have many good deeds. But we do not find the ulama of the past mentioning those good deeds and their evil deeds. We don't find this from the people of knowledge. And if you were to concentrate on the books of the Salaf, you will find them to be hundreds and hundreds of books. Were they wrong? Were the people of the past wrong? Verily, this claim that you should mention the good deeds of the people, this is an affair that has made the way of the Salaf unclear, and it made the people far away from this way. So if you said to these people who are making this claim, the people who used to be on the way of the minhaj of the Salaf, and then they became affected with these other people who are calling to this new way, if you were to mention anything about their mistakes, they would request that you be quiet, and they would say to you, do not split or divide the community, the ummah. And this affair is an affair that is on other than the way of the people of the Sunnah and the people of the Jama'ah. Ibn Abbas said, if we heard a man say that the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to, if we heard that, we would look at him and we would give him our ears and we would listen if he said, the prophet said. But when the people started to make things difficult and start to look for the lowly things, we stopped taking from the people except that which was well known. And Ibn Sirin also said, when the fitna became apparent, we said, tell us about your men. Name for us the men, the people of the chain of narration. So we would see the people from Ahlul Hadith. If they were in the chain of narration, we would take it. And if the people of innovation were in the chain, we would reject it. So, brothers, pay attention to this point. Because this minhaj.